You would this morning turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're looking at the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. Oftentimes this is called the seven last words of Christ. And this is number three. The first three are sayings of thoughtfulness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And today to his mother, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. The next two sayings that we look at will be the sayings of travail or suffering. I thirst, and my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the last two sayings, right up to Easter, will be the sayings of triumph. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, and it is finished. So we're looking today at what Jesus said about his own family. John 19, verse 25. Then there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, who was that? John. All right, that was the apostle John, the disciple John, whom he loved. He said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. As Jesus is gradually dying on the cross, his circle of interest gets smaller. The first saying was about everybody. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The next saying was the thief next to him. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The thief was a stranger, but it was to him, one person rather than the whole crowd. And then he narrows it down further to his mother Mary, who's standing there at the foot of the cross. Two people involved here, Mary and John, the youngest disciple, called the beloved disciple. Mary, and we need to be careful not to do more with Mary than the Bible does with Mary. Mary was a special woman. She was a great woman. She was the mother of Jesus. But let's be careful not to do more with her than the Bible does with her, okay? Mary was troubled by the angel, Luke 1:28, where it says, and the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled. After the message, if you go over to verse 38, then she submitted. And she, coming to that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake him of all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Mary was submissive. She said, whatever the Lord wants me to do, I'm going to do. They were in danger, and so they obeyed. Joseph and Mary both obeyed. And when Herod was trying to kill all the babies, 2 years old and younger, in Matthew 2, an angel appeared and told Joseph to take the family to Egypt. And they lived in Egypt until Herod died. We assume they lived on the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that the wise men had brought them. But we know about John, he was the son of Zebedee and Salome, the brother of James, Mary's nephew, the cousin of Jesus. Now you do that, you find out that Mary and Salome were sisters because you compare John 19:25 with Mark 15:40 and Matthew 27:56. And we're not going to do that this morning, but it's believed by many that they were cousins. Mary had other sons. The Bible mentions them, Matthew 13:55, James, Simon, Joseph, and Jude. But they were not at the cross. None of Mary's kids were at the cross, only Jesus on the cross. They weren't disciples yet. In fact, several times they tried to interrupt Jesus' ministry and take him home. Like he was a nut or something. That's the way I look at it. And they had not yet accepted Christ. It ends up that two of them wrote books of the Bible. James and Jude, Jesus' half-brothers, wrote those books. But what happens here? Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. First of all, everything that happens is a fulfillment of prophecy. Acts 2:23 says that Jesus was delivered by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. None of this is a mistake. None of this is a coincidence. All of this is prophecy and fulfillment of prophecy in God's plan. You look at Luke chapter 2. Mary goes during the time of purification to the temple, and she meets Simon. Now, Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. Leviticus 12 says 33 days after circumcision, you go to the temple for purification. So 8 and 33 is 41 days after Jesus' birth. Luke 2, 29. Let me back up. Let's see. Verse 25 says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed upon him, unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, and this is Leviticus chapter 12, they're fulfilling. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The prophecy that Mary would be wounded during Jesus' ministry. This is also the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, where God said to Mary and the serpent, he shall bruise thy head. The Messiah shall bruise the head of the serpent. Ye shall bruise his heel. Jesus would suffer. And so it's a fulfillment of that. Jesus was suffering on the cross. Mary was suffering. She was suffering silently. She was not hysterical. So number one, now last week we had 12 things. Week before that we had 12 things. We still got out on time, all right? But 12 things. Today you get a break. There's only 9 things, okay? Number one, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Number two, it's an example to us. The Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou dwell in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 talks about God's order of the family. Let me find that here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so it's an example to us. We are to obey and respect our parents. I think one of the hardest things for parents to learn, and I deal with this with the college students, is that once your children are adults, you don't treat them like kids anymore. They'll always be your baby, right? But you don't treat them like kids anymore. You have to learn how to treat them like fellow adults. You can give advice for them to make their decisions, but they make their decisions at that point. And so that's tough. Mary and Joseph's relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus respected his parents, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto his parents, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. Verse 52, Luke 2, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus obeyed and respected his parents growing up. He fulfilled every obligation to God during his perfect life, and he fulfilled every obligation to his parents and other people in his earthly life. And honoring your parents goes beyond just obeying your parents, okay? It's like the little boy, he said, go sit in the corner, and he says, I'm sitting in the corner, but in my heart, I'm standing up. Yes, okay? It's an attitude as well as an outward obedience. Honor your father and your mother. Number three, John had come back and Jesus had accepted him. The Bible says in Matthew, they all ran away. Matthew 26:56. When all this was done, that the scriptures would be of the prophets might be fulfilled, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They all ran away when he was arrested. Jesus had predicted they would all run away. Matthew 26:31. Then Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. The high priest questioned Jesus during his trial, John 18:19, questioning him about his disciples and questioning him about his doctrine, the Bible says. It was part of his interrogation. But the disciples came back, and in Matthew 28, where he gives the Great Commission, Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They came back, and John had come back before that. William Barclay said, all 11 sought him after he arose, but only one disciple sought him while he was on the cross, and that was John. We wander away, be backslide. John did, and John came back. Micah 7:19, speaking of God, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. John had run away with the rest. John came back. Jesus accepted him. And Jesus entrusts the care of his mother to John. Now, number four, it shows Jesus' love and good sense. Mary loved Jesus. John was the man whom Jesus loved. He took her into his home. We read that. From that hour, he took her into his home. Now, when you read John 20, when Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples went to the tomb, they found the tomb empty. Then it says they went back to their houses. John went back to his house like everybody else. Who's the first person he told that Jesus rose from the dead? Mary. She was at his house. Interesting. Number five, no spiritual service should interfere with natural ties and responsibility. Even people that serve God have a responsibility to their family. Someone said one time, the preacher's wife is the person in town that needs most the visit from the preacher. Oh, gosh. And you know why preacher's kids turn out bad? Because they have to play with deacon's kids. Absolutely. Okay. Oh, but 1 John 5:8. But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Eileen has someone she knows, and the husband won't work. He won't go out and get a job. He sits at home and plays video games all day. And the wife makes all the money and has to pay all the bills, and he's always on her to make more money, make more money, make more money. But he's the one with the free ride. And she wants to complain about it, but she doesn't want to do anything about it. Don't complain about what you permit, right? But yeah, it's a bad situation, and just complain, but what are you going to do about it? Well, if you don't do anything, it'll keep on like it is. If anyone provide not for their own, especially for their own house, they are worse than an infidel. That's what Paul says. He also said, if you don't work, don't eat. Wow. There's some ways we need to get back to the Bible. He took her into his own home. He left the tomb and went to tell Mary first. Neglect your family for God's work. Loving your family. Guys, loving your family is God's work. Loving your wife, loving your children, watching over them is the work of God, is the work of the ministry. Reading and praying is ministry. Because if I don't read and I don't pray, I don't have anything to share with you. And sometimes you can tell I don't have anything to share with you, okay? I hope not often. But number six, we take Christian women for granted. A lot of things in the church are held together by the women. We don't like to look at that. But women can never be as successful as men because they don't have wives to advise them. Think about that one for a minute. Behind every successful man is a strong wife and a surprised mother-in-law. Women can never be as successful as men. They don't have wives to advise them. Interesting. But William Barclay said this, and I know he didn't make it up, but it's great, that women were last at the cross and first at the tomb. There are many ways in which women lead more than men do. Now, number 7, how many are we looking at? 9. Very good. You remember that. Okay, you don't remember anything, but you remember 9. All right. It shows Christ's care and tenderness for each person. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus wants to bless people. Jesus wants to take care of people. Jesus cares about people. Jesus said in John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It shows how much Jesus cares. He's dying on the cross, and he takes time to take care of his mother. Number 8, those that love Jesus have the honor and responsibility of loving and caring for the things and people that Jesus cared about. What did Jesus care about? Number 1, the church. Jesus cared about his church. The church is his body. Ephesians chapter 1, and this is a very, to me, very mysterious passage. Jesus, God hath put all things under his feet and given to him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus fills us. We fill him. Jesus fills us. He lives inside us. We fill him because in the world we are Jesus' arms and legs. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus said in John 14, in that day I will be with my Father, and my Father shall be in me, and I shall be in you. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hebrews 10 says we're supposed to provoke one another. I feel provoked sometimes. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll tell you what, and you hear me say this a lot, if we don't pray for each other, and nobody out there is going to pray for us. The best chance you got to be prayed for is your brothers and sisters in Christ here in this church. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for each other. We need to uphold each other in the family of God. Vance Havner said, I believe in the loyalty to the local church. I don't believe that believing in the invisible church means that you should be invisible from church. Now, we got a lot of people who believe in the invisible church, and they believe in being invisible from church. I run into people all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm a Baptist. When was the last time you were in church? They can't remember. Yeah, I love to visit people, and they'll say, oh, I go to like so-and-so church. Really, who's the pastor? And they name him. He's the guy that was there the fourth or fifth pastor ago. Yeah, okay, that's always an evangelism explosion question. When they ask what church do you go to, and they tell you the church, ask them who their pastor is. And they don't know who the current, I love to ask Catholics, who's your bishop's name? They pray for him every Sunday in Mass. They can't tell you his first name. It used to be Norbert. Now it's some new guy. And I'm not a Catholic, so I don't worry about it. Love and care for the things Jesus loved and cared for. Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves us. He cares about us. But what else did he care for? The souls of people. The souls of everybody. John 21:16. Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. God wants us to be feeding the sheep, not just shearing the sheep. You know, people want to complain. Let's do some good stuff. Let's do some positive stuff. Let's come up with some answers to some of these problems. Okay? Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. And number 9, last but not least, The need of every person is to stand at the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but us who are saved, it is the power of God. Romans 4:25, Jesus was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. There's a hymn in our hymn book called There's Room at the Cross. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. How much did Jesus love us on the cross? This much. Okay? There is room at the cross for you. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you can do that today. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved.